This is MMA Torch editor Jamie Pennick, and this is the Torch audio news brief for Friday, June 18th, 2010. First off, I want to apologize for the lack of audio this week. I have been in the midst of a move, and have been spending all of my free time trying to get posts up on the site and have not had a chance to sit down and do these audios this week, but I wanted to catch up on the week that was in MMA. Two of the four events of this week have come and gone as Strikeforce Los Angeles hit the Nokia Theater on Wednesday night with Hinato Babalus overall winning a decision over Robbie Lawler. There was a lot of really good action on Wednesday night's card. A lot of the same problems that Strikeforce has and a lot of the same issues that get talked about ad nauseum, but the fact is for the hour and a half that the event was on, there was a great lightweight fight between KJ Nunes and Connor Hewn. Really good back-and-forth battle between them. Tim Kennedy came up big against Trevor Prangley in getting a first-round submission. And Evangelista Cyborg Santos made an excellent debut at welterweight, defeating dream welterweight champion Marius Zaromskis with a first-round knockout. Just a very, very enjoyable fight card that had a lot of everything, with some good grappling, some good striking, just really an enjoyable night of fights. And this is where Strikeforce is at its best, when they almost embrace the super fight nature of their company. The issues come in with the production and the pacing of the shows and the commentary and all of that, and when they try to set up these divisions and try to set up what they're doing with title shots, I mean, they screwed themselves with the Babalu-Lawler situation, because Lawler, you know, they talked about him getting a title shot with a win, but now they're talking about an eight-man tournament anyway that Lawler will still be a part of, despite losing this 195-pound catchweight fight. Babalu doesn't want to fight King Mo, even though that's the fight he earned with this win, according to Scott Coker, and he called out Dan Henderson after the fight. So, you know, there's still a lot of things with that where their divisions are not deep enough to sustain these champions that they've got set up right now, and it's an issue, and they haven't built up a whole lot of people otherwise. But for a standalone night of fights, it was a highly enjoyable event, followed up by Bellator on last night on Fox Sports Net with Ben Askren. I mean, I was completely wrong about this fight. I thought Dan Hornbuckle was going to be able to do a lot more from his back, but Ben Askren proved me wrong. I'm happy to eat crow after that at that performance, because Ben Askren was extremely impressive in decimating Dan Hornbuckle from a positional standpoint, relentlessly taking him down to the ground, scrambling highly effectively, and always finding a way to get back into control of the fight. It was just a really, really fun and impressive performance out of Ben Askren, and he's going to be a major, major force. I really, really think that he's going to beat Lyman Good now in Season 3 after seeing the way they went through Hornbuckle here with another 2, 3, 4 months of training under his belt heading into that championship fight. I don't see any reason that he doesn't win. So, yeah, those were the two events that we had going on. There's still the Ultimate Fighter finale tomorrow night, as well as the WEC 49 event from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, on Sunday night. So, still a lot of MMA action left this week. Bellator is back with their final fight of the second season next week with two title fights with Bellator 23, but still plenty of action left this weekend heading into Father's Day on Sunday. We'll have our normal 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time slot at Blog Talk Radio going to break down all of the action that was this week, as well as look ahead to the WEC 49 card and Bellator and Strikeforce Fedor vs. Verdum. Speaking of that fight, Fedor Emelianenko came up with some of the more mind-boggling quotes I've heard in some time during the pre-fight teleconference today for that that event. This is what he said through a translator today. He said, "I'm not a UFC fan. I would invite all the fans to watch our fight," meaning him against Verdum, which I believe is more important than Brock Lesnar versus Shane Carwin. "I'm not a fan of watching the UFC's fights compared to a lot of the commercials and promotion and anticipation of their fights. And compared to a lot of the shows I've seen, there seems to be a lot of negativity involved in their shows. So I'm just not a fan of watching their programs, and also, in some ways, it's due to the actions and the behavior of a lot of fighters from the UFC. It takes away from the sport." For starters here, Fedor vs. Verdum means nothing compared to Brock Lesnar vs. Shane Carwin. That's one of the more asinine things that's been said in a long time, because the only Fedor fight right now that would have any relevance on the MMA heavyweight landscape is the one with Overeem, and that's the fight that Strikeforce still has not put together and will need to get together if Fedor wins this fight. And that's really the only importance that comes out of this fight on the 26th is if Fedor wins, because then it sets up the Overeem fight. That's the only significance this fight has outside of Verdum winning and knocking Fedor out of the top spot in the division and making it a clear hierarchy for the UFC. As for his comment about the UFC's programs, I want to know what this negativity is that he's talking about, and for him to come out with the actions and behaviors of UFC fighters taking away from the sport, yet he's working and involved with a company that just had a gigantic pull-apart brawl on CBS on national television when the sport is still trying to be sanctioned. For him to talk about the actions and behaviors of fighters in the UFC taking away from the sport, I mean, he's afforded a certain air of self-importance, as he is one of the greatest fighters in the history of the sport, and he's still, for all intents and purposes, an undefeated fighter, because the only loss on his record was due to an illegal elbow. We all know the story, we all get it, but the fact of the matter is, you know, he's still outside of the best organization in the world, when it comes to the top fighters fighting the top competition on a consistent basis. That's just the facts of the matter. People can say what they want about the level of competition he's facing, and he's beaten some former UFC fighters, and he's done, you know, he's continued to be successful, and arguably his last two years or so have been more impressive than the previous two or three when he was fighting the Hongman Choi's and that manner of competition over in Pride near the end of that run. So at this point right now, I these are really asinine comments, and he's got this air of self-importance that you know, he's too good for the UFC right now, apparently, when the rest of the top fighters in every other division have found a way to work with the UFC, and you know, people can paint me as a complete Zuffa loyalist if they want to, but the fact of the matter is, the UFC is the top dog for a reason. They have the best fighters in pretty much every division outside of having Fedor in, and, you know, Nick Diaz and Gilbert Melendez not being in their lightweight and welterweight divisions, respectively. But when it comes to the best fighting the best on a consistent basis, that's what the UFC provides, plain and simple. That's just how it is. Getting away from that tangent, another thing that the UFC has continued to do is lobby to get the sport sanctioned in every state as well as around the world. And one of their biggest targets is the state of New York. And this week it took a big step towards coming to fruition as a bill to legalize mixed martial arts has passed the New York State Senate. It's going on to the Assembly. It needs to be put to a vote on the Assembly floor. If it gets past the Assembly floor, it will go to the desk of Governor David Patterson. Can't talk here. David Patterson, and once it gets there, it will be signed into law, as Patterson has previously proposed putting MMA into the New York State budget. He did that earlier this year. So if it gets past the assembly, which they still need to get past the Assemblyman Rileys of the world, if it gets past that step, it's highly possible the UFC goes to New York before the end of the year. So hopefully that's something that comes to fruition. A bill had come before the Senate back in 07, and they did not pass it. This is definitely a step forward there. Moving on to some other UFC news, UFC 118 was officially announced. BJ Penn versus Frankie Edgar 2 is official as the headliner, as is the co-main event between Randy Couture and James Toney. Tickets are on sale next week for the event coming to the TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Also, that card will be getting the prelim treatment on Spike TV. It looks like UFC 117 will be passed over, which is a bit unfortunate because that fight card is excellent, but they'll be passing that over to get 118 on there, and they'll have three more events through 2010 to bring prelims to Spike TV. Finally, last thing from this week, it was revealed that Brock Lesnar has been training with former opponent and one-time rival Randy Couture for his bout with Shane Carwin at UFC 106, now just 2 weeks away. And the training video put out by Death Clutch, which is Lesnar's clothing brand, and his gym is branded the Death Clutch Gym. Lesnar is looking in amazing, incredible shape. Working with Randy Couture is only going to be beneficial to his game. And this video, more than anything, proves the constant naysayers on Lesnar, calling him a disrespectful fighter and all of that. It completely flies in the face of all of those fans and Brock haters that refuse to accept him as a complete mixed martial artist and just a legitimate heavyweight champion. You know, all the people that decried his mocking of Heath Herring and his comments after the Frank Mir fight the second time around. You know, Lesnar never had a bad thing to say about Randy Couture. And it's clear afterward that there is a mutual respect there, and it's led to Randy and Brock working together for this fight with Shane Carwin. And Lesnar hasn't even said anything negative about Shane Carwin, despite the constant stream of comments that Carwin leveled his way around UFC 100 and afterward. So it's all about the fact that both Heath Herring and Frank Mir were extremely disrespectful towards Brock Lesnar heading into their respective fights with him, and he reacted in kind afterward. That was my take after UFC 100. It's still my take now. The fact is, I put Frank Mir in the wrong for his comments, and to expect Lesnar to react any other way than he did after shutting Frank Mir up, after all of the talking that Frank Mir did then and continued to do afterward, he will be respectful to those that are respectful to him. That's the way that Brock Lesnar works. This proved it even more so with the Randy Couture situation, and it's a scary thought to see what Brock Lesnar is doing right now in training camp. He's so quick, he's so athletic, he's improving on his ground game, he's improving a lot of different areas. At one point in the video, he tosses Chris Tuchscher off of him, who's a 280-pound-plus fighter, like he's a 100-pound kid, just completely flips him off of him. I mean, this is a very, very impressive-looking Brock Lesnar. He's going to be a faster, more explosive heavyweight than Shane Carwin is. I can guarantee you that on July 3rd. And it's going to be an excellent, excellent heavyweight battle. And to go back to what Fedor was saying, I'm much, much more interested in seeing Brock Lesnar versus Shane Carwin than I am about seeing Fedor fight someone other than Alistair Overeem right now. in Strikeforce anyway. That would be completely negated if he was in the UFC, because I would love to see him against Cain Velasquez, Junior Dos Santos, Shane Carwin, Brock Lesnar, hell, even Frank Mir. There are a lot of different fighters in the UFC I'd love to see him against, but the only outside of the UFC that anyone cares to see him against right now is Alistair Overeem. So, once again, not nearly as important as Brock Lesnar versus Shane Carwin. So, that will be my rant for today. Thanks for listening. Once again, apologies for the lack of audio this week. We'll be back with plenty more next week, but tune in Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com/MMA Torch, as we will be back with another two-hour live call-in show. You can call in and talk with myself and Matt Pelkey during the two-hour show, as well as email in questions and join in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com. So, thanks for listening once again. This is Jamie Penick signing off.